We talked about greeting one another, how important it is for us to be welcoming and to be enjoying each other. And as we meet with someone, say, I'm so glad to have you here. I'm so glad you're part of our church family. And so we talked about how important it is to welcome each other and how we, in different ways we can do that. And then Nate brought the message of serving one another. And he encouraged us all to, when we look at our church family, look at ways that we can serve the body of Christ, or serve our church family. It's important for us to consider that, serving one another. And then last week we talked about carrying one another's burdens. And in context, actually, that was talking about even carrying the burdens of one who maybe has been caught in some type of a trespass or sin. And there's coming alongside them and helping them. You know, we all have our burdens. But sometimes we can help someone else carry a burden they have in their life. And that's a Christ-like thing to do as well. So those are the things that we've talked about so far. Just a quick run through. Today, we're going to take on another one of the one another topics as we go to week 10. And so what I'd like to do is just have you read with me in Ephesians chapter 4. It's on page 152 of the New Testament, if you're using the Bibles in the racks there. I'd like to just read this text to set the stage what we're going to talk about this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it says this. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to take a look at this passage and to take a look at this topic we have in front of us today. It's a very important one. And I pray, Father, you'll help us to understand as we go through this morning just how important it is. So we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, I preach because of the grace of God. I say that because this week I have failed in the very thing that I'm calling us to do together this morning. In my own marriage and in ministry, I have failed in this area of bearing with one another. You see, quite honestly, God has had to bear with me this week, as others have as well. So I need this message. I need to hear what it says. I've been listening to it all week, and see if as we go through it, you can't relate, that maybe there's some things here that we can all benefit as we take a look at God's Word. You know, it seems like bearing with one another is such a daily, and actually, it can be very difficult. So you may say, when you talk about bearing with one another, what are you talking about? Well, it has the idea of maybe suffering with another person. It has the idea of enduring with someone. And let me put it into vernacular. I think we can understand that clearly. Okay? It means that we put up, if you will, with one another in different issues and different things that come along. And I think we can relate to that as we go through this. I think we'll see some practical ways that that's true. You know, even when we're trying, we find that we can fail in this area. You know, sometimes, though, there are reasons why we don't even try to bear with one another, okay? Just briefly, let's talk about what some of those things might be. Quite honestly, it can be pride in our life. You know, we feel very strongly about something, and, you know, above everything else, there it is. And sometimes our pride can cause us to not bear with one another. Another reason can be selfishness. Quite honestly, maybe we decide we want something more than the person we're trying to bear with, and so, hey, I'm going to have my way in this. And so there we go. Another reason is impatience. Sometimes, quite honestly, we can just become impatient with one another, and therefore we don't bear with one another in the way we're going to talk about. Yet another reason. I think sometimes we are not bearing with one another because we're not taking time to reflect upon what Christ has done for us individually. And if we really have a vision of what Christ has done for us, we'll see quite honestly that Christ has really put up with us in a lot of ways. We'll talk about that. Another reason why I think sometimes we don't bear with one another is because, quite honestly, you know, we may have the Spirit of God in us, but we may not be in step with Him. We may not be walking in the Spirit. As Galatians says, we live by the Spirit, so let us walk in the Spirit. And I think there are times when we're out of step with the Spirit of God, and therefore it's hard for us to do this biblical charge of bearing with one another when that's the case. So this morning what I'd like to do is just briefly set the context of this bearing with one another, where it's coming from. And I'd like to spend the bulk of the time really talking about bearing with one another, what it means and what it might look like in our life. First, let's just set the stage. Briefly, the messenger. Let's talk about the messenger. Who is it who's calling us to do this morning? Well, the Holy Spirit is inspiring the Apostle Paul as he writes these words to us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. He's writing it from a prison in Rome, somewhere between 60 and 62 AD, along with the other prison epistles of Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. This book was written, this one for the Ephesians. Paul is a prisoner of the Lord, or another rendering is that he's a prisoner in the Lord. We see here that as Paul is in prison, his apparent public opportunities really seem to be taken down. But here we also get a sense of his authority. I mean, he's writing as an apostle of the Lord to us, but he's a prisoner of the Lord or in the Lord. He's there because of his love for the Lord. It's not because of a crime against humans, although humans have put him there. It's his love for the Lord. He's a prisoner of the Lord or prisoner in the Lord. And we need to recognize that this is the heart of his writing to these Ephesians. Now, we need to understand, these Ephesians had great liberty in their lives at the time Paul's writing because of what the Lord has done for them, because of what Christ has done for them, and because of what Paul is doing for them, even as he's writing to them from prison. Just a thought here. You know, sometimes I think we fail to see how others who give us a spiritual benefit, who give us the words of God, in this case, Paul is giving us, and he gave the Ephesians the scripture. Sometimes people who've benefited us in the past have been people who've done it at great cost to themselves. I mean, think about your parent. If you're fortunate enough to have a Christian parent, they taught you the truth, but many times you saw them live it out in the different inconveniences of their life. Or maybe you had a mentor in Christ who taught you the things of God, but you could see the great difficulty they have. And so we need to understand that this is the messenger who's writing these things. Let's talk about the messengers briefly. What is it that we're being asked to do in this passage? What is it we're being asked to do? Well, quite simply, we're asked to walk in a manner worthy of our call. Walk in a manner worthy of our call. Walk has the idea of our conduct, our lifestyle. We need to have a lifestyle that's worthy. The idea there is appropriately or as becometh or after a godly sort. We need to walk in a way, we need to behave in a way that is appropriate for our calling. The calling there is an invitation that God has given us, this calling on our life. What kind of invitation has He given to us? Well, we can turn back just a couple of chapters to the passage that Gary read to us earlier this morning. We're not going to read through it again, but I just want to point out to you some things that he read to us, just to get our perspective right on how much Christ has, if you will, put up with us and how much He does. We're told in that passage that formerly, before the blood of Christ, before the cross, we were separate from Christ in verse 12. We were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel in verse 12. In verse 12, we were strangers to the covenants of promise. Going on to say, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our position. We were far off, and the passage goes on to say, we were aliens. That's how apart we were. And yet, because of the cross, because of what Christ has done for us, the passage goes on to say, but now we've been brought near. Now Jesus is our peace. Now He brought the Jews and the Gentiles into one. That's another thing we're told. That He broke down the dividing wall. We've been reconciled to God. The enmity, the hatred that existed between us and God has been put to death. It's no longer there. We have access in one Spirit to the Father. Look at the benefit we have there. We're fellow citizens with the saints. Verse 19 goes on to say, we're of God's household. These are all benefits we have. And that we're now a dwelling of God in the Spirit. All of these are great blessings that we have. And we need to understand what our calling is. Gary's right. Go back and read the first 10 verses. It explains those verses even more clearly. The point is, we have so much. God has put up with us through Christ by what He's done for us on the cross. We need to understand why it's important to walk in a worthy manner. as He has put up with us, as He has endured us, as He has endured our sin, we need to recognize that as we talk about walking in a worthy manner. Well, what is the method? What is the method? Briefly, how are we to do this? Well, Paul talks about three things, and we're going to go through this very briefly. One, we're to do it with all humility and gentleness. And humility has the idea of thinking modestly about ourselves. We're not arrogant. We don't think we're something great. We just read the passage about where we've come from. We need to have humility. But also, we need to be gentle. We talked last week about gentleness being not a weakness, but a strength that's under control. And that's what we need to behave. Our thinking needs to be humble. Our actions need to be gentle. And that's what we need to make sure that we're doing. And he goes on to say, and this is what we're going to be talking about more details. So we're just going to quickly touch on this. With patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. That's what it says in verse 2. That long-suffering there means, or patience means long-suffering. And the giving, showing tolerance is the idea of putting up with enduring or suffering. We talked about that earlier. We're to do that with each other in love. We're going to dwell on that more. And then thirdly, we're to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means making an effort to guard the unity that we have in the Spirit of God. Now, we don't produce that unity. Let's be very clear about it. God, through His Spirit, gives us that unity, but we're to preserve it. We're to preserve it. And some may get concerned about that. Well, about, what do you mean by being unified? Does it mean we don't deal with sin? No, we've already talked about in this series. It's not dealing with that. Is it not concerned about teaching? Yeah, we need to be concerned about our teaching too. Does it mean everything goes? No, it doesn't mean everything goes. But I think the passage goes on to tell us the unity that we have in the Spirit is built around these things. Follow with me in verses 4 to 6. There is one body and one Spirit. This is, you also were called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You count those up, you'll see there's seven different things there that are talked about. But we're to preserve the unity of the faith. Listen, the Word of God speaks very clearly to those seven things. You can do a systematic study of any of those things, and you'll find the Word of God teaches us about that. That's not the point of our message this morning. But just to set the context here, Paul's saying that we act, walk in a worthy manner as we do these two things. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, and then being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the Lord. That's how we walk in a worthy manner. But what we want to do now is we want to, for the rest of our time, just really zoom in on that second one, which is with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. That's what it's about. So let's get really practical with this. I've chosen two areas to talk about. First of all, our homes. They are homes. There are ways that we have to endure, if you will, and put up with one another. Let me give you some examples. Maybe you're listening to radio together at home, or you're watching TV together, or you're trying to choose a movie. I don't know what the experience is in your house, but sometimes there can be a difference in what you watch. You ever seen that? Right? Yeah. Sure. Some may want to watch a football game. Others may have one other program or whatever the situation is, and all of a sudden you've got this issue you've got to work through. You know, there's give and take in relationships, although you have a clear preference. You're willing to put up with this program for the sake of the family. Okay? We can relate to that. We've all been there. We've all had the discussions. I can tell because I see smiles. And even sometimes people looking at each other, right? That is true. But yeah, we can relate to that. So that can be an area that we put up with each other. Here's another one. Household roles. Yeah, like, who's going to wash the dishes tonight? Who's going to provide dinner tonight? Who is going to clean the toilet today? Right? All those things. All those different roles that sometimes you may think they're very clearly defined. Maybe you don't have to discuss it very much. But let's face it. Okay, let's face it. There are times when even someone who has a clearly defined role, they can't do it. So who now does it, right? Who bears with one another? Who puts up with this situation and steps up to help out? We all endure these types of things, even when we talk about roles in the house. Well, here's another one. What about finances? What about the old budget? What are we going to spend our income on? Most of us don't live in households where there's an unlimited income amount. So what are you going to do? Are you going to spend it on his hobbies? Are you going to spend it on her clothes? You know what I'm talking about, right? And we have to learn to have some give and take with that little bit. We have to learn to do that. And there's a lot of grace that's required in this, right? A lot. We all struggle with these things. These are daily discussions that we have. We know it's important to put up with each other in the household in these things. Here's another one. This past Friday at our church leader training, we did a session on love and respect. It was a talk given by Gary Egerich and talking about the difference between men and women. And he's highlighting in that men have a great need, and you can read it in Scripture, God commands that men need to be shown respect by their wives. But at the same time, wives need to be shown love by their husbands. And he spent really the bulk of that time talking about how so often we miss that. We really miss the communication that's going on. And if we get frustrated and fail to give the other person what they need, it can really cause for what he calls a crazy cycle for marriages. He doesn't love his wife, she doesn't respect him, and things just start getting crazy. Right? It happens. By the way, if you go on that site, go on the Right Now site, watch Love and Respect. It's in the conference section, leadership training section. It might be an encouragement to you even in your own marriage. But, you know, we have differences. The way we communicate, we have to learn to bear with one another. We don't think the same way. We don't process things the same way. And we need to be aware of that. So we need to bear with one another at home. Well, let's move to our church family. We have a family. We also have a church family. How may we have to bear with one another in a church family setting? Well, let's talk about one. Let's talk about music. Okay. Now, if I did a survey around the room, we would have all kinds of people liking all kinds of different music. We know that. That's the reality. It's there. You know, sometimes we need to understand that we need to bear with one another, even in the music preferences that we have. Some people can listen to certain style of music. It's like, this is the best worship I've heard in a year. And others can say, oh, that's all right. You know, the musicians may have done an equally excellent job, but it's just where we are. It's our preferences, okay? Nothing in the Bible that specifically lays out exactly how we have to do our worship time. There's a lot of freedom there. But we need to sometimes bear with one another in those things. Personally, I am very appreciative of the musicians and vocalists that we have and their leadership of us in the worship time weekly. I'm blessed by that. I'm able to worship the Lord. But sometimes when it comes to those situations, we just need to put the style aside for a moment and just say, Lord, this is between my heart and just worshiping you and focusing upon you and giving you the credit and the glory. And sometimes we just need to do that. It's sometimes consciously, sometimes we can just, you know, make that a matter of, Lord, this is something I'm choosing to do. So that can be an issue. What about, here's another one. What about personalities? You've all been around people who, you know, you've been around them for a little bit, and it's just like, man, I just didn't dig that contact very much. Something about it, you know, person-wise, I don't know. I believe they're a Christian and everything, no problem, but it's just like, man, I got a hard time with that, right? You've heard it maybe before. I love them, but I just have a hard time liking them. But you know what I'm talking about. There's some of those personality things that just, it bugs us, whatever it is. You know what? Sometimes we just need to, again, bear with one another. Realize that we're all built differently. Sometimes, you know, not all people are equally easy to maybe be with or spend time with. Not a biblical issue, not a sin issue. That's where we are. We need to bear with one another. Here's another one. Maybe different parenting practices can cause frustration with us. You know, you can be in the body of Christ and still have different parenting values and that type of thing. And sometimes if you're not careful, it can lead to hard feelings. I remember when I was a younger boy, before I could stay on my own, my folks were going someplace. And they had another family in the church that they let us go stay with. And so my brother and sister and I were taken to this family's home. We were, of course, dropped off for the weekend, I think it was, and my folks took off. And not long after my parents left, oh, by the way, when I went, one of the things that is a thing of consolation my parents let me take, one of my favorite comfort toys, which was the straw hat and my two six-shooters that I got to wear in holsters on either side. You know, if I had to go for the weekend and be apart from the least, because I like to wear those things around, you know, a lot of fun. I was taught not to point at people, okay, but I, you know, the whole thing, but I had them and I liked to wear them and everything. But when I got into the door and my folks had left, it wasn't long before my hat and my guns were confiscated. They were taken away by the host family because they had all girls and we don't have guns here. So my comfort boy there, up in the closet or someplace, I don't know where they went. They're gone for the weekend, right? And we get back and go on. And of course, you know, there was no issue between my parents and their parents or anything. It was handled really well. But I have to say, years later, I was visiting the same household. They had two boys in the household. Guess what? They had guns there. But you know what? I bore with it. I didn't say anything. But you know, we can laugh about it. But you know, sometimes those things come up, and we just have to wear with, you know, deal with them with grace, and not allow little things to become big things when it comes to working through these types of differences that we may have. Well, that's another area. Another issue at church could be spending. Like, what did the church spend this for? Why are we doing this? Or why is this in our budget or whatever? You know, there can be a lot of questions that come up with that. And sometimes there's some good discussions that happen at the leadership level, whether it's deacon or elder level or both or whatever. And I just assure you, a lot of discussion goes into these types of things. And if you have questions on that, feel free to go to a deacon, go to an elder, ask about it. But you know, we can all look at things and priorities and say, what is that about? And we need to sometimes make sure we get the information before we get too upset with things. So just an idea, you know, things that we, topics that can come up, it can be something that causes us to stumble. We just want to be careful before we make our final determination that we bear with one another and just, you know, seek things out and understand things clearly. So anyway, just some things at church that can cause us to stumble. So we have issues at home. We have issues at church. Here's some key words, okay? If when I say these words, a certain person or a certain thing comes to mind, it might be that bearing with is a topic that's relevant to you, okay? When I say the word irritate, okay, maybe someone or something comes to mind. Keep that in mind. That might be something you need to bear with or someone you need to bear with. Here's another word that may be a key word to just get your blood pressure going. How about bug? It really bugs me. And then you think of someone, okay, or something. Again, what we're about to talk about be really relevant in that situation. Or what about, they just really get under my skin. That's another phrase you hear sometimes, right? Or this just really annoys me. Okay, all those words are words to say. If those are words that, you know, when you think those words and someone comes to mind and you're frustrated by it, okay, this is a chance to practice bearing with someone, okay? So here we go. Children, if you have a brother or sister that just drives you bananas, makes you go crazy, okay, what we're about to say, this is for you, okay? So there is something here for you today. Just listen up, okay? And here's another one. If you're like a strong personality, a type A person, or ladies, if you're a mark, you know, a get-it-done kind of person, listen up, because this can be for you too, all right? So here we go. As an, just an example before we get into some practical things, let me just remind you that in Matthew 17:17, after Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he was greeted by a multitude because the disciples who were left behind were asked to cast a demon out of a boy. They weren't able to do it. Now the group is going to Jesus saying, you know, can you do this? Because your disciples sure couldn't. And Jesus said to them in this encounter, how long must I put up with you? It's the same root word we're talking about here, about bearing with one another. How long must I put up with you, you unbelieving and perverted generation? Now think about this. Our Savior, who walked the earth perfectly and without sin, was surrounded by miserable sinners. And he had to put up with them on a daily basis. So remember, if you ever get frustrated about, man, I don't want to deal with them, having to bear with, well, listen, none of us are perfect. We wouldn't say that. But Jesus dealt with people like that all the time. People who are imperfect, people who had sin. And so he is one who exemplified bearing with the generation. You know, he could have wiped out sinful mankind. But of course, he had a bigger plan, and he was showing us how to, again, deal with people who we may find very difficult to deal with. So let's get really practical here. The remainder of our time is just going to be this. I would like to give you four actions that you can take when you sense that frustration, when you get irritated. And then I want to talk briefly about two attitudes, two promises, if you will, that we can take to heart. So here we go. Here's the first action. When you're really tempted to just let a person have it because of the irritation you feel, here's the first one. Be slow to respond. Be slow to respond. Where do I get that from? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 19. It's at page 178 of the New Testament, if you have those in the racks in front of you there. But James chapter 1, I'd like to read verse 19. You'll recognize this verse. If you spend much time in the Bible, you'll recognize this. James says in James 1:19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Yeah. You know, the flesh, the natural man, is quick to reverse all of that. We are slow to hear, we are quick to speak, and we are quick to anger in the flesh, naturally. That's our natural response. It is a spiritual response. It is a spiritual response. So we need to understand that. We need to be slow to respond. The second thing is this. The second thing is pray to the Lord for enduring power. Pray to the Lord for enduring power. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 is the fruit of the Spirit. We've mentioned that throughout the series. It's been cited. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, one of those is patience, which is talked about with patience, putting up with one another. That patience that we need to endure with one another, that patience comes from the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability to do that. If you feel like when you get in those situations that you're irritable and you just can't deal with it, guess what? You're right in the flesh. But through the Spirit of God, as we allow Him to control our lives, as we count upon Him for the strength, He can give us the ability to do what we can't do in and of ourselves. So realize that. We need to be slow to respond first. Second, we need to pray for the enduring power to be patient in that situation. The third practical thing we can take with us when we have these irritants in our life, the third thing is to evaluate the issue in light of Scripture. Evaluate the issue in light of Scripture. Take whatever it is that's irritating you. Is there a true biblical cause that needs to be talked about, that needs to be addressed? That's one thing. We've talked about that already when we talked about admonishing us. But if there's not a biblical basis, if it's just a personal preference thing, and there are a lot of those, I just say there's so many of those that that's probably the, you know, a lot of what we deal with, then we need to patiently endure, patiently bear with one another. So we need to be wise. Take that issue, whatever it is, through the filter of Scripture and see what it is. That's the third thing. Here's the fourth. As we're bearing with one another, the fourth thing is we need to forgive those you have a complaint against. Forgive those you have a complaint against. I'd like you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It's page 158 of the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 13 says this. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Notice the bearing with one another, which is what we're talking about. That's the theme for today. Same word we've been talking about. The bearing with one another is associated there, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Very closely tied with this bearing with one another is the idea of forgiving each other as well. You know, those people who are irritants, the situations that are irritants to you, it's easy to just kind of become bitter about. Just drives me nuts. And we never do forgive the person. We can't just say, "Lord, I'm going to release this one. I'm going to let this one go. I choose to forgive them," as Paul is charging the Colossians, to bear with others, but to forgive them if we have a complaint against them as well. So we need to understand that. We need to live in those realities. We need to pray that God will help those become realities in our life as we are bearing with one another. I mentioned there are two promises. I just briefly want to touch on these two promises that we can just take to heart. The first promise in the whole area of bearing with situations is this. We can expect to be persecuted for the Lord's. We can expect to be persecuted for the Lord's. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:12 talks about them being persecuted for doing their ministry. In 2 Thessalonians 1:4, he told the Thessalonians he was proud of them because they were enduring. This word we're talking about, they were enduring this type of persecution. They were bearing with. So that's the first thing. We need to understand that it's to be expected. You know, I don't know about you, but I suffer with this a lot. You ever suffer with just wanting things to be like it's going to be in heaven? You know, I want this day to go like we're in heaven. Like, no conflict. Like, everything goes well. Like, everyone understands. Like, you know what? It doesn't happen like that. We're not in heaven yet, right? But we need to understand that that's just a part of what we're going to experience. But the second promise is this, that if you're holding up and you're enduring, even in a situation where you might be persecuted for the Lord's sake, here's the second promise. The Lord promised that He will reward those who are persecutors. He'll reward those. The final passage I want to turn to tonight, today is Matthew chapter 5, and verses 10 through 12. I think a great promise to leave with us, that you're in a severe case where it just seems like you have no relief from the situation. You're having to endure it on and on. And maybe it is even a spiritual issue. I mean, you know that as far as you know before God, what you're doing is His will. But boy, it just seems like you're getting hammered for it. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12 says this. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and also say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, there were Old Testament prophets that did their prophesying for decades, and they had to bear with the situations that God had called them. We need to understand as God's people, there will be a reward for those who faithfully endure what He's called you to go through. In review, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, has written to us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We do this as we practice gentleness, as we practice humility with each other. We do this as we patiently show tolerance for one another in love. We do this as we preserve the unity of the Spirit that we've been given. Practically, we seek to be slow to respond, to pray to the Lord for enduring power, to run it through the lens of Scripture to see if the issue I'm really stumbled over is a biblical thing, and practice forgiving one another. And remember those two promises. It's going to come. Endurance is something that we're called on to do, but there's a reward for the faithful saint who endures as God has called you. You know, when I opened up this morning, I shared that I failed in this area myself this week. Maybe as we've been talking about it, you realize, you know what? I had a time this week where I maybe didn't do that so well either. Let me encourage you with this thought. God's grace is an operation each day. Thank God. And if you stumble or if you fall short, you can come before the Lord, confess that sin, seek to walk in a way that is pleasing, you know, to Him from now forward. We can have peace. Doesn't mean we don't have consequences. Doesn't mean all those things aren't true, but we can start over. Not about you, but I'm thankful the Lord bears with me. That He puts up with. Are you thankful for what He does for us on a daily basis? Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity that You have given to us to see what Your Word says about bearing with one another. This is, Lord, certainly an important one another ministry because it's so regular. It's so challenging. Help us, Father, to bear with one another as your scriptures calls us to do. And Lord, help us to rely upon you as we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.